Now, speaking of history, there are many different ways of looking at history. Most people, in their rather naive, unsophisticated fashion, that is, most of us, see history, or think of history, as just a plain, straightforward account of what happened in the past. But historians tell us that this is really incredibly naive. History is hardly ever that. Facts are often very difficult indeed to ascertain. Did King Alfred really burn those cakes? Nobody knows. Did King John really lose his jewels in the wash? Nobody really knows. Did King Richard III really do away with those two dear little princes in the tower? Again, nobody knows. They're still discussing the matter. And very often, accepted legend takes the place of real history. And even when it is possible to ascertain the facts, even when the facts are agreed upon, there are so many different ways of interpreting them, so many different ways of looking at them, so many different, as it were, philosophies of history. For instance, one can see history in terms of biography. History as consisting of the biographies of great men. You all know the little schoolboy saying, geography is about maps, but history is about chaps. About all sorts of chaps who are called great men. History is about great men. History consists of the biographies of great men. Of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Charlemagne, Genghis Khan, Cromwell, Frederick the Great, Napoleon, Hitler. So this view... So this view of history was very popular during the Victorian period. And many people do still think of history in this way. They see a particular period of history as the lengthened shadow of some great man, usually a military conqueror. And then there's the Marxist view of history. Marxism sees history in economic terms, sees it in terms of class interest, even class conflict, class war. Marxism sees history as passing through four great stages. Stages of theocracy, feudalism, capitalism, and then communism, in accordance with who controls the means of production. And the Marxist view of history, of course, is derived from the Hegelian view of history. Hegel saw history, at once more abstractly and more concretely, in terms of the progressive manifestation of what he called spirit, with a capital S, in the world. He saw history as a process, moreover, that moved from east to west. He saw it as beginning in China, in ancient China, and as reaching its culmination in America. But what would happen after that, Hegel didn't say. And then there's Toynbee's view of history. Toynbee sees history as the story of the rise and fall of civilization, or rather, of civilizations in the plural. And he enumerates more than 24 distinct civilizations. Some of these civilizations disappeared centuries ago after a long and glorious history. For instance, the ancient Egyptian civilization, the monuments of which, or at least the architectural monuments, still do exist. Other civilizations, for instance, the Hindu civilization, are still with us. According to Toynbee, moreover, some civilizations survive in what he called a fossilized form.
And according to him,
Tibetan civilization, as it existed before the Chinese invasion of 1950, was a fossilized civilization. Buddhists perhaps wouldn't altogether agree with that.